Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, our Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us to learn about our faith in a practical way. My name's Matt Garrett. I am joined again by Jesse Fires. He said his own name this time. I didn't have to. Jesse's here.
I am
present
here.
And accounted for, ready to roll, ready to rock, and ready to read. He's going to read us a parable today, because this week we've been talking about parables. Specifically, I think most of them have been coming from the book of Luke. This one certainly comes from the book of Luke. I know for sure because it's the topic we've been assigned. So in Luke chapter 16, we have the story or the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. So I'm just going to let Jesse read away.
All right. So it starts in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger...
No.
Am I at the wrong?
You're at the wrong parable, my friend.
The rich man and Lazarus.
There we go.
Chapter
Take
16.
Take two.
Yeah, I've cut that
action.
Out. That's a blooper.
No. Jehu? No, keep it.
Jehu, cut it.
Keep it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. The rich man and Lazarus. Okay. In verse 19 of, yes, of chapter 16.
There we go.
Here we go. So there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
Yikes.
Interesting little note there. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that I may testify unto them, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Rich man and Lazarus parable. Or story, or
true account. So maybe we'll talk about that first, just briefly.
Okay.
You notice that when Christ opens up his accounts, his tellings of these stories, whether it's a parable or not, you go back to chapter 16, it starts the same way. There was a certain rich man, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. The steward is unnamed in that one. Then we get to this one in later in chapter 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man.
Yeah.
But then in verse 20, there is a specific person named, the beggar is named Lazarus. Yeah. We also have Abraham in the story later on. So this is uncharacteristic of most of Christ's parables. Mm-hmm. This is why a lot of people argue that this was actually something of a true account. This was something that Jesus could have witnessed when he was still part of the Godhead in heaven. Not that he's no longer part of the Godhead, but now he's living in time, talking to people surrounding him about these stories. So this could be something that took place in the past. But it does also just get fused in there with all of these other parables.
Yeah.
And you go back to chapter 15, he starts speaking these parables kind of with a specific intent. And let's just read that real quick. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Now, I want you to like think about that and say that with your most incredulous voice possible. This man entertains sinners and eats with them?
Yeah.
Like, Just imagine the judgment taking place in that statement while the Pharisees are speaking.
Wow.
In the same way, later on in Luke chapter 16, before this parable comes in, again, we get a glimpse into the Pharisees' like state of mind during all of these parables being spoken. It's like Christ is not teaching this in a vacuum. Like, we're reading this in a vacuum from the Bible, but he's teaching this to a large group of people. His disciples are there. The Pharisees and scribes are there. The publicans and sinners are there. There's lots of different people listening to this, but we keep getting clued into how the Pharisees are thinking. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 16. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and they derided him. Mm. Now that word derided, I don't know what translation you might be reading this from, but it essentially means like to turn your nose up at someone, to sneer at them, to like look upon, like, you know, you take your glasses down on them and you're like looking at someone like a little kid doing something stupid. Are you kidding? Yeah. You know, like that's how the Pharisees are listening to these teachings by Christ. And that's how they're processing what he's saying. Interesting thing that it just tells us in the text, the Pharisees were covetous. They were covetous. So that kind of sets us up to think about how we're to process this story, parable or not. We're meant to learn this. We're meant to be learning multiple, maybe different things from a parable. It's not just a one-stop shop. You can come back to it again and again and pick up something new each time that you read it.
Yeah. And you know, it really fits the scheme of how Christ is speaking to the Pharisees in parables. And this does fit a parable. What you're saying, the context is huge, you know, first with he's speaking to Pharisees and he's really trying to, you know, tell a point. And then the structure of this story is really told in a parable.
Yep.
You were saying before, how it started off. There's this man and there's that man. And there's this huge contrast. And then he uses a lot of imagery. But just because it's a parable doesn't mean it cannot be true. Like some of it, like he always uses things that we can relate to, you know, the sheep, the coin, all these things we talked about in the previous week.
Yeah.
But this one's interesting because we can kind of relate to it, but then we get to it where we can relate to it until when someone dies, and then, you know, you get to heaven and hell, you get to these different perspectives that we are not very familiar with at all.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And so Christ is, in a way, and I think that's maybe why he used a name, is to really relate it and say, like, this is okay, you're relating it to this point, but now it's like, we're going to go a step deeper. And that's what kind of parables do, you know? We could read it to open eye, just read it, and there it is. That's what it is. But there's always something underlining and hidden that kind of Jesus is really targeting at. And you're saying to the Pharisees, you know, who are just in themselves and think they're better than anybody else. And Jesus really lays them out with is this the final blow? Is this? Then he speaks to the disciples in verse 17. So
yeah, chapter 17. Yeah. It's very like, okay, like let's go to a different chapter of parables. Matthew chapter 13. There's a ton of parables in that chapter all by itself. And it says each one of these parables starts the same way. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Like, all right, there's a very clear message to all of these parables. If you read them in succession, even though they all use different imagery and different ideas, it's what is Christ trying to do?
Yeah.
He's trying to show the people who he's teaching what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so now we get to this section of parables in the book of Luke, and there's a certain man and a certain situation, and there's always two groups of people in all of these stories. And if Christ is speaking to an audience of a mixed crowd, he's addressing the Pharisees in some way, and he's addressing those who want to follow him in some way in each one of these. So when we look at this and we can like differentiate between the rich man and Lazarus and their qualities and what's going on in their lives, and even more so what goes on in their death, Christ is sending a really clear message like, hey, Pharisees, your covetousness, your judgmental attitudes, the way that you stick your nose up at these people and what they're about and what they do. Did you know in the Psalms it says this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. It doesn't say this rich man full of wealth and goods and glory and honor like cried and God heard him. It says, no, this poor man cried. Psalm 34, I forget the exact verse. But he's kind of coming at them hard. And we can see it. We can take a few minutes, maybe break down what we see in Lazarus's life and the rich man's life. But ultimately, this story is about the reversal of temporary life to eternal life,
yeah,
and what the difference is between the two. And we can make a few like conjectures, or we can make a few, not assumptions, but guesses as to how he's trying to frame this or what he's trying to say.
Yeah. And so we could go into like the first, you know, one of the question is just what did Lazarus have that the rich man did not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I want to even go a step back. I mean, we could just start in verse 19. There was a certain rich man clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day.
Yeah.
You know, so we got the rich man, and we could see this in the world today.
Mm-hmm. Very easily. Yes.
People living for themselves. This guy's feasting nonstop. And if you break down these words, it's like not just he's feasting on, you know, just regular food. It's just like high quality food and very, you know,
the best of the best.
Yeah, exactly. Top, you know, high grade.
He's like chilling on a yacht, having things brought to him.
Escargot.
Oh man. Okay. We went there. Escargot.
I had some good escargot.
Oh, good for
Throw
you.
Throw some cheese on it and butter and you're good.
Whatever you got to do to eat bugs, man. Okay.
But he was living. Yeah. He was just living this life of luxury. Yeah. Sorry. And you could get so caught up in that, you know, and so blinded that you're just so focused on yourself and you're having a good time and just living for yourself. And then you completely really forget other people, you know. And that's what we see in verse 20. There's another person. This person was Lazarus.
Yes.
Who was laid at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed and wanted crumbs.
He'll even take crumbs. Yeah. Wow.
Crumbs. So.
Like any little thing will do.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Give me just give me a little bit, you know, and that's, you know, interesting how, you know, as we'll see later on, it flips.
Yeah.
So he's a beggar. He's hurting. He's full of sores. He's pretty much dying really. Yeah. And he's in need. And, yeah.
Like, isn't that a sign of death being near when dogs come to like lick wounds? Like, isn't that actually some sort of indicator that he's really close to death?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I could be imagining that. I could be just totally making that up.
Makes sense.
But I feel like I've heard that before. Something about the dogs can like smell it in some way. Like your body is failing.
Yeah.
And they're coming to, I don't know if it's. I don't even know why. I don't even know why I said it. They're Jesse. Giving up. I don't know what's going on.
We're setting up the story though, and just like so we can relate to it and understand. And
what I like is the rich man is not named, and Lazarus is named, and Lazarus's name is like really cool. Actually, his name means when God helps. Yeah. When God helps. Now, there's two famous Lazaruses in the Bible. There's the one that God helped, who Jesus raised from the dead, the brother of Mary and Martha in Bethany, Lazarus, right? But then there's also this Lazarus in the parable.
Yeah.
And in both scenarios, the name rings true, like God helps Lazarus. Mm. And we see that. We see he has a name and he's known by God, whereas the rich man, no name, maybe unknown by God. And we see what happens where they both end up. One of them goes to Abraham's bosom. This is also a really interesting parable in the sense that it gives a little bit of insight into what hell was like before Christ died. There are thought to be two different sections of hell in the Old Testament. There's Abraham's bosom, which is spoken about here. And then there's Hades.
Which is Gehenna, Hades, right?
Well, yeah. So, yeah, I haven't restudied it recently, but I believe Gehenna is like the final place in Revelation 20.
Correct.
And Hades gets thrown into Gehenna, but Hades is like the section where the ungodly go in the Old Testament, and the godly go to Abraham's bosom. That's why we see it's speaking about a great gulf being fixed between them. But the whole point being, okay, Lazarus is named. God knows him. God comforts him. It says angels come to take him.
Yeah.
What does it say about the rich man after living this luxurious life, full of himself, full of his own works, full of his own whatever merits? It says he died.
Yeah.
He said he was buried. It doesn't say anything about anyone coming to get him. And then the next line says, in hell.
Yeah.
Like, this is where that guy is. He's in Hades. And it's, I forget. I wrote it down somewhere, but I might not have it here. It's like, essentially, the realm of the dead. He's in the realm of the dead, and there's nothing he can do about it. And he even tries to do something about it.
Yeah.
And Abraham, Father Abraham, is saying, no, not possible. There's a great gulf fixed between us.
Yeah.
Even if we wanted to, we couldn't help you.
Yeah. Wow. I know. I love that verse in 22 and what you're saying. You know, the beggar died, but then he was carried.
Yes.
You know, we're all going to have a death, and that's going to be, and that's inevitable. But then there was the rich man who died and was buried. Yep. So there's two ways. You're either going to be carried or buried.
Carried or buried. Whoa. It sounds like a message.
It's going to, I'm giving.
Jez is going to preach already, this. Here we
go. I'm already making a message.
Let's
about
go.
It. But you're welcome to take that title. Okay. And just reference me. Carried and buried.
Jesse Fires one day said on Grace Hour, it's either carried or buried. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But no, it's like, it is a heavy topic too. Like,
it's true. Okay,
like, and it's beautiful too. Like, just the caring aspect of it. Like, I can't do it myself. It's like the angels are coming and you're being carried like to the, you know.
Yeah.
I love that because it's not about us. And it was nothing that the beggar did. And we don't know too much about this beggar other than he was on this earth. He was full of sores. He was begging and all this stuff. And he had a pretty miserable life, it looked like.
Yeah.
Definitely. With the dogs about to die because the dogs are licking
sores,
him.
Dogs coming in licking him. Like, there's nothing pleasant about that at all.
Yeah.
But there's this insane reversal that takes place.
Yes.
Upon death. And what always strikes me is how the rich man's experience is described after death. It says in verse 23, and in hell he lifts up his eyes, he's in torments. And he sees Lazarus, this guy who he always saw at his gate begging for bread, like full of, like he saw this guy miserable. It says like evil, where does it say that? Evil happened to you. Evil happened to Lazarus. It says it in verse 25. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. It says, okay, let's read it. Abraham said, son, remember that you in your lifetime, this is Abraham speaking to the rich man, in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus received evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And part of that torment in that old, like here's paradise and here's Hades, part of that torment is seeing that person you thought very little of, those people that you stuck your nose up at, that those judgments that you made in your heart without ever getting to know someone or think about them or pray for them or help them in their time of need, all of that is just right in front of you. And you're like, man, I missed the boat during life. Something didn't register. I was too focused on my life and my wealth and my comfort that I didn't see that other person really had a need. I just thought less of them. Yeah. I thought, they're not like me. I'm better than them. Mm. It, like, you can imagine that attitude, right? Everyone in the world has that attitude at one time or another, or sometimes for most of their lives. But this parable is one of those truth-like missiles that launches into our hearts and says, hey, this is not the way to go about living your life. You can go about it a different way. You can serve other people and you can think of them and you can lift them up and you can help them. And I'm not saying you got to look at every single beggar on the street and pass out all your money and give them everything that you have. But I am saying that God like is thinking of those people. And are you thinking with God when you pass by them? Because if you are, you're going to like notice, you're going to pray, you're going to talk, you're going to comfort, you might give something, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, that's good. And like, I love it that you're pointing out these things too. Like I can't save the world, you know. No. Like, let's leave that to Christ. Yeah. He's the one. Let's just bring the word. But like, to the people, can I be open and just in my own surroundings, in my own life, can I be aware of what's around me? Hence this guy at your doorstep or at your gates, mm-hmm. you know, just the people around me. Can I really just think about them and just like, okay, humble myself and just like, hey, I can help this person or that person. I don't need all, you know, the poor you'll have with you always.
Yeah.
You know, they're always going to be there. And, but like such a amazing just, aspect. I was thinking, what was it? Just how we will suffer so much in this life as people, as believers. And it's just a natural thing. Mm-hmm. But to almost just like, if you're suffering, it's like a good thing. You know, and that's a whole nother topic maybe too as well.
Sure.
But in Matthew 5, you know, it talks about, you know, the Beatitudes, and it's just like we're talking about this opposite, you know, kind of life. Yes. Just like, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, for they shall receive something. So there's always like something kind of maybe negative in our world today that we could see, like the meek, like who wants to be meek and lowly and humble, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather not. I'd rather be strong, but no, like receive these, like take that and for this life, like being meek, being lowly, being observant of others who are in need. And if a brother needs something, I could lend out something. Because this person, this rich man had plenty. Every day.
More than enough.
He's partying. He's dressed up every day.
Yes.
Every day. Like, it's fine to do that, right? It's fine to go dress out once in a while. You know, me and my wife, we had a date night.
This guy probably never wore the same clothes twice.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I got a new outfit for every day. It's all purple and it's all fine linen, but it's brand new every single day. Yeah. I'm exaggerating.
But maybe we're talking to somebody and somebody's listening online and maybe this is a lifestyle that they live every day.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give like one day? Can I like take out one day? Because to completely cut it off, it's just like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And can you give like, all right, a day, you know, just go out and be a brother of Christ and just lend out your hand. Yeah.
Okay. Really, really practical point.
Yeah.
Totally like just, he's full of sores. How are the dogs getting to those sores? He's probably not clothed very well. Like,
true.
Let's just say this guy, he's got an abundance of fine linen, purple, like you can't even spare like a set of clothes to this dude at your gate who's just slowly dying.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. Take that attitude to modern life today. Someone maybe never wears the same outfit twice. You see it. Like you hear people say it all the time. Oh yeah, I would never wear the same. Well, I wear it once and I'm done. It goes to where does it go? Like, why not give it to the homeless? Why not give it to the people who are going to use it again and again until it's completely worn out?
Yeah.
But that's just like, okay, I'm not talking about just the social gospel. I'm talking about looking at people who have need and realizing you have more than you need.
Yeah.
And giving because of that. Like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
Right. Well, how about out of the abundance of like what you have in your life, give out of the abundance. That's what God tells us to do. Like, be cheerful givers.
Yeah.
Give of the first fruits. Give a little part back of what he's given so generously to you, because it will do wonders in the kingdom of God in ways that we would never do ourselves if we were just like always focused on ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And this is an important point, you know, but I would say it's not the full, right? There's something more.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep going. So we got into, okay, he's now this rich man, he was buried.
Yeah.
And he's in hell. He lifts up his eyes in torments and sees Abraham afar off, like you were saying before, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Wow. So, I mean, a couple of things right there. Yes. One, we see he can see.
Yeah.
He has eyes, like he could see. Number two, like you said, he sees Lazarus, this poor man that he was at his gate. And 24, he cried, and really is a prayer. He's praying, really, and in hell, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now he's asking for mercy. He has feelings. And then he wants, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. He has need.
Yeah.
And isn't this like you were saying before, like this is what Lazarus was begging for before.
Yes.
He was in need.
Yeah.
You know, just some clothes, just some food, mm-hmm. just
a crumb.
Helping hand, a crumb.
Yeah,
something so small. Now it's the rich man who wants that.
Just a dip of your finger in water, you know? That's crazy how it reverses like that. Temporal blessings can blind you to what's really going on in eternity. Temporal blessings are not meant to replace your spiritual blessings. You're meant to solidify your spiritual blessing, like your life and walk with God, so that any temporal blessings you have may be not only used for you and your comfort, but also for the comfort of others. Mm. That's what 2 Corinthians talks about, not in the materialistic way, but it speaks about being comforted by God and using the ways that God has comforted you to comfort other people. Mm. In the same way, this is like what he's dying for. Here's something that really sticks out to me, Jesse. He cries to Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, do this thing. And what's the answer for everyone who's gone into eternity? It's the same answer. Like, hey, it's too late.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's a big deal. Hey, it's too late. You had all of this time on earth to think about God and what your eternity could look like. You've had all of these different people, whether it's a preacher on the internet or a person talking to you on the street, or even one of those people who's like screaming from the streets, you're going to hell. Like, you've heard the message over and over and over again, maybe not always in the best way, but you've heard the message.
Yeah.
And you've heard people say, just believe in Jesus Christ. Like, just turn away from your sins. Just believe in him and you will be eternally secure. But you get beyond that. You just live your life the way you're going to live your life, and you forget all those things that people are saying to you. And then you get to the point where you're face to face with God, and that's the, have mercy on me, God.
Yeah.
And Father Abraham said, what does he say? Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received good things, but that was in your lifetime. You had your opportunity.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a saying, like, in my generation, the YOLO saying, you only live once.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's truth to that, but they're using it as like, live it up, you know, do what you want to do, you know, eat more, take in as much as you can and live for this life.
Yeah.
But we're saying like, there's something way beyond this life.
Yeah.
This temporal things, clothing, money, the world, which the world really promotes, you
yes.
know? And it could suck you in and really blind you from these eternal things that we're talking about. But don't miss it, because it really blinded this rich man.
Mm-hmm.
This rich man had everything you could possibly probably want, and it was clothed in the best things.
Yeah.
But there was something, he totally missed it. And you're saying he did, because the Bible says, right, he did have an opportunity. Maybe not at this point, you know, maybe Lazarus could have even maybe shared.
For all
you
know,
helped this guy, then boom, like he's giving him gospel. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting that he called him Father Abraham. He says, Father Abraham, like, I mean, do you take that in any way? Like, I was thinking, like,
sure.
just like he had maybe some kind of word or background in this, he's calling him Father.
This goes directly back to who Christ is speaking to. He's speaking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees think of God as their father.
Correct.
But they don't look at Jesus Christ as their savior. Mm. They're waiting for their Messiah. They're waiting for the one who's going to free them from the Romans. They're waiting for the one who's going to prosper them in glory and triumph. And this guy teaching these things, congregating around sinners and publicans, he's not that guy. They're looking down they're sticking up their nose at him, like, who are you? And they're crying out to their Father in heaven. It's just like in Matthew 7, where it says, there will be those who call upon my name, Lord, Lord, I have done these things in your name.
Yeah.
And what's Jesus going to say to them? Like, he's right here speaking to them. Mm. He's giving them the opportunity to understand. Guys, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, like, you are the rich men in this parable. This is you. You are so full of yourselves. You're so focused on the places of honor. You're so focused on praying in public and being praised for your prayers. You're so focused on the knowledge you have of the Torah and everyone like coming to you for understanding. And you're missing, you're missing a spiritual life with God. Father Abraham. Yeah, he is your father, but you don't know that your real father is the devil, and your religious attitude and your religious duty and your your man-made customs are not going to profit you in the kingdom of heaven. You're going to be staring across a great gulf that's fixed between you and the people who cried out to God, who humbled themselves.
Yeah,
what does it say in at the end of Psalm 34? God looks upon those who are of a humble heart and of a contrite spirit. 34 verse 18. That's what God is looking for. That's what Jesus is trying to get across to these people. You guys can call Abraham your father all you want, but that blessing comes to those who believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That blessing comes to those who believe that the Savior is there, and this thing that's happening, unfolding at the moment is a big deal, and they don't see it.
Wow. And through that, like when you have that humility, when God really gives you that, because none of us are humble,
yes,
God really breaks you and allows you to do that. Or I can really ignore it and just live my own life like he was doing. But when you have that, you start looking at other people for their needs, and you start to see other people that they are in need. And now I'm starting to give. Now I'm starting to see the beggar on the street, and God will show you these people. It's not the whole world. He maybe gives you just one person, just like, can I just give it? Can I do it unto him?
Unto the least of these,
right?
Yeah.
And so, and then it's like, when did we clothe you? When did we give you this stuff?
Yeah.
And it's just like, God's like, you did, you know, I gave you that one person that I need you to minister to. And so, let's keep going. Let's talk maybe more about this, this fix. I mean, that's a huge one, right? This gulf that's between them in verse 26. And besides all this, there's, between you and me, a great gulf fix.
Yeah.
And they can't pass back and forth. So what would you say about that? And I know you maybe mentioned it like very briefly too, but that's very interesting. I looked up pictures of this actually.
Yeah.
I was expecting something amazing. I mean, I found some cool ones. You could look on them and maybe challenging the artists out there that they could draw this. I mean, this would be amazing.
Yeah.
Right? A picture and to put up, and then people could see it and just see like, what? Wow.
Before
what
and after.
Yeah.
Before and after. Like in life and then in death. Mm,
yes. Very. And it could be such a great, you know?
Yeah.
Pastor Monty up in here.
Man, that'd be a different kind of picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to get it.
He probably has already done one like that.
For sure.
So
this is great gulf.
One good cross reference for this idea is Isaiah 59 and it's verses like one through four. Maybe we could just do the first two verses. It says, Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They that trust in vanity and speak lies, they conceive mischief, bring forth iniquity. It keeps going. It gets worse and worse and worse. But the great gulf really is like man not confronting his own sin nature. Like in my mind, when I read the two accounts, when I read the parable and I go back to Isaiah 59, it's like, if you don't deal with your iniquity, you're never going to have a relationship with God. And then when you do finally face your iniquity, your sin, whatever it is in your life, whatever many sins you have in your life, we all have many sins in our lives. You realize there's only one way to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's not through your own strength, your own power, your own riches, your own whatever. It's not up to your fine linen and purple clothes. It's up to God to have mercy on you. He realizes it too late.
Wow.
Father Abraham, have mercy on me. It's like you had your entire life to ask for mercy. You had your entire life to stop hiding away your sins by living a luxurious life, putting off because you just want to enjoy. What does it say in Ecclesiastes? Like, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Like, you just kept that attitude for your entire life, and you forgot that there's like a much bigger purpose that could be had of your life. And that person laying at your gate every single day was just God giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to walk by and notice, like, oh, there's more to this than just what I got going on in my everyday.
Yeah, because the Lazarus had something, as we see. Like,
yeah,
he ended up going to heaven. He was carried away.
Yeah.
So he had the gospel. So the gospel is literally at the door.
Yes.
I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking.
Yeah.
Literally, that's like the grace of God that he would do that. But yeah, this great gulf, it's very interesting that this man, the rich man, can see.
Mm-hmm.
He could see that Lazarus is there, and he could pray and talk, you know, to them too as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, no, you can't come here. And yeah. Like you're saying, like, there's a separation, and it's throughout the Bible. There's always a separation, and there's God, and then there's, you know, man and everything else, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the unclean thing, and then there's the holy thing. You know,
yeah.
There's a separation from the holy place and the holy of holies. There's
yeah.
a separation that, you know, we cannot come close to God. And there is a gulf fixed between, but God in this lifetime, he's given us a way, and he's given us this gospel message that mm-hmm. he's like, I know that you're sinners, and but I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to make you a way in your lifetime.
Yeah.
In this time of life that yeah. you have on this earth, however long that is, we don't know.
Right.
But you will have an opportunity.
Yeah.
and we see that because he wants his brothers to get saved now.
Yeah.
So he has memory, you mm-hmm. know, which is crazy too yeah. as well. And now he's requesting for someone to send his brothers, but Abraham say is
yeah.
he has Moses and the prophets, and
He
has the word of God.
Like, if that's not enough, you showing up, wow. coming back from the dead is not going to do anything. Like, the word of God is actually sufficient to save someone's life from hell. Like, when Jesus speaks, it has power.
Yeah.
Even when it's written down and recorded in history and read 2,000 plus years later, like this parable being read right now, it has power to transform a person's life. They can look at their life and say, am I the rich man or am I Lazarus? And if I'm the rich man, how do I not end up like him
yeah.
in hell? And it's just like, it cuts. That's what Hebrews 4:12 says. The word of God cuts. It, mm-hmm. it gets into our hearts. It divides our soul and our spirit.
Yeah.
And it just speaks to us and tells us, it says it understands what is the thoughts and the discerning. All right, hold on. Got to read it.
The intent.
Yep.
The intent and desires of their heart.
It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yes.
Like, that's what the word of God does. And this Father Abraham is saying, like, don't you know that Moses has spoken all of this already? Don't you know that the Pentateuch is like there for you to learn and understand that God has a blessing for you in your life, and all these other things that you hold as gods over him are not going to eternally secure you from anything.
Yeah.
It's just going to blind you. It's just going to deceive you. It's just going to take you down a path that doesn't lead to eternal life. And you're going to be in torments. You're going to be in flames. Like, that's scary to think about.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to do scary for people to hear what God is capable of and how much he wants them to be. What does it say? Where does Lazarus go? In the bosom of Abraham.
Yeah.
How much God wants to wrap his arms around you and say, no, child, you are mine.
Yeah.
Like, I like.
That is amazing.
Come on.
And that's called a place of comfort.
Yeah.
You know, and that's at the Last Supper, you know, John was on Jesus's bosom.
Mm-hmm.
Too as well.
Yeah.
The sheep, I believe one of the parables was
thrown up over the shoulder. Carried on his shoulders. Yeah.
Carry me. Say.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
But, a place of comfort and security. And this is what we are really searching for in this life.
Yeah.
And like we said before, we'll do everything to search for our peace. We'll do everything to do all these things. But God's like, I have everything you need.
Yes.
In this life, yes, maybe you don't receive all these things, these external things and these temporal things like this Lazarus did not receive on this life, but tenfold. Like he received, he was comforted.
Yeah.
And angels, rich men.
Angels came to collect him.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Angels.
Really? Came. Him? Collect yeah. him? Like, come yeah. on. Like, he's got the fine linen and yeah. all this. But no. No. It was the poor beggar who didn't have a burial, who was leaking putrid of sores, and he's the one that's carried in.
Yes.
But his body stayed. That's a whole other thing.
Yes. whole other thing, yes.
But we see we could start wrapping up here towards the end.
Yeah.
He has five brothers. He says, no, you have Moses and the prophets.
Yeah.
And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent.
Yeah.
If you will do a sign and a miracle, I yeah. will believe in you.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I love this. Yeah, go ahead.
No, feel free.
Oh, in verse 31, he said unto them, if they will not hear, we can just say the word, neither will they be persuaded through though one rose from the dead.
And do you understand what Christ is doing in this moment to the Pharisees?
I think I do.
He's saying, like, I'm gonna rise from the dead. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna be persuaded. Because exactly. you've already missed it. Like, it's already been in front of you this entire time. And if you're hard towards me now as I'm alive, you're going to be even harder towards me whenever I come back and I reveal myself to those publicans and sinners. When I reveal myself to those disciples who never learned the Torah, the ones who just went out to be fishermen and do other things that didn't require academia or knowledge or like status in society, you're going to be even more hard towards me when I come back and I go up into the clouds and I say, and I pour out my spirit upon these people who are unlearned men and you hear the gospel again and again and again.
Yeah.
And then what happens later? Stephen tells them the whole thing start to finish. Like, do you not understand what God has been saying this entire time? Mm. And boy, it's just like, I'm so thankful. Like, if you think about this, I'm so thankful that Jesus cares about the Pharisees.
Yeah.
We read this Amen. Stuff and we might not think, like, you hear messages like this and you might not think God cares about you. You're like, he's just cramping on my lifestyle. He's just like coming against me. No, Jesus cares so much about you that he wants you to open your eyes to the fact that your security cannot be in temporary things. Mm-hmm. Your security has to be in the God who created you. In the God who died for you, in the God who rose again from the grave to save you. Mm. Like, that's where your security is.
Yeah.
But if you're so blinded by all this other stuff, you're never going to look and you're going to get harder and harder. Every time someone opens their mouth, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not interested in that. Forget, get away from me. I got stuff to do. I got money to make. I got plans. I got parties to go to, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But God cares.
Yeah.
Jesus really cares. It says in Matthew chapter 10, he's got his eye on the sparrow. Like, okay, that's the song. That's not what the verse says, but his eye is on the sparrow. Like, if he knows every time a sparrow falls to the ground, how much more does God care about you and me or any of these people who are blinded right now?
Yeah.
He cares.
Yeah.
He cares.
Wow. And maybe we could wrap it up here. It's, you know, we talked about, what did we talk about before? We talked about just like, yes, this main point of, like, you know, giving and being a cheerful giver and look out for the needy and all this. But, you know, put yourself in the rich man's shoes too as well. If someone's sleeping at my gate nonstop, you know, I might be calling the cops, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
But there's like, what we're saying is like, there's a deeper meaning. And like, that's a great story. And maybe some people hold on to that. But there's always something deeper, and it's your final destination, your eternal life, where you get to spend that. Because this man ended up going to hell, and he regretted it, and he started to understand that he could get out of it. So he's like, okay, send people to my brothers, you know, and like, he does not want anybody to join him. And hell is a real place.
Yeah.
It's not meant for us. And it's just unending torment and suffering, and it's a little small window of what hell is, and it's an amazing parable that God has given us. And prayerfully read it, because that is what is what's going to move us to really share the gospel. Maybe I see a poor man on the street and, you know, I give, but maybe, you know, it doesn't really move me mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah.
But if I know that there's some, either they're going to get carried or buried, you know, if I have that,
yeah,
like they have a final destiny. I don't know where that person's going to be at yeah. eternally.
Yeah.
Lord, help me in a way. And if I know that, then maybe I'm more motivated to mm-hmm. open up the word, share the gospel, give to somebody who I don't want to maybe give to.
Yeah.
But you know what? God has told me, cause like he's going to be in even heaven or hell. So yeah.
Wow. You get, if you're on the road to hell right now, once you get there, you're going to know it's not the place you want to be. So you can make a decision now. You don't have to wait. You can make a decision right now. You can believe in Jesus and the provision that he has made for you. He paid for your sins already. That great gulf that separates you from God, he's paid that. He's removed it out of the way. Mm. When he rose from the grave, that gulf disappeared. He went in and he took the Old Testament saints up to be with God in heaven. Amen. And he will take you and he will send angels to carry you, but you have to believe in him. You have to trust him as your Lord and Savior. You have to say, I don't want my sins anymore. I want Jesus Christ. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you're gonna know one day how beautiful that decision was, and you're gonna be so thankful, and you're even gonna help other people get there. So make the decision. Thank you guys so much for listening today. We appreciate you following along. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Thank Jesse Fiers for being here today. Be sure to join us as we continue to speak on parables throughout the rest of the week. See you guys.